How's everybody doing? Is everybody ready for the holiday kick in? It's like we just got out of summer, we were all busy, now we've got a lot going on this winter, don't we? Woo-hoo! I love this time of year. It keeps me out of trouble. And you know what? I like candy. Or donuts. Donuts is good. I should be the Pillsbury Doughboy as much as I like donuts. All right. So, I'm going to dive into the Word this morning. We're going through Matthew. And what was the last chapter we went through? Huh? You know that. You wrote, you did the bulletin. How about somebody who didn't do the bulletin? So today we're on 3, chapter 3. Remember what we learned last week? We learned that in Matthew, the first chapter, we learned that Jesus, and remember the Magi that came and was trying to find Jesus, and then Herod went and tried to kill him, and the Magi went the other way, but the Magi was following a star. We learned all about who they were, where they were from, what they were all about, and why they came, and who's basically why they were sent, and because of the research they'd done. And remember, we were saying knowledge today is even more so. And the Magi back then had knowledge and understanding of the stars and the prophecies that was written, and they did the study of the prophecies that were written. And also, we need to be doing the same thing, right? We learned that we need to study the Word to find out what's going to happen in the days to come, right? Because we know that the Bible is written for past, present, and future, right? So the future is written for us to see. As believers, when we read Scriptures, we find out what's coming down the road. And so we can prepare by the Spirit of the Lord on what to do to prepare for the days to come and what's happening in the days to come. Jesus said He is going to return. How many of you believe that? He's coming. Right? And the Bible says He's coming quickly. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm over halftime. And so whether I see Him in the clouds or whether I see Him when I die, either way, He's coming pretty fast. And it seems like my time is just going faster. I don't know about you, but it's like time is just going. And I don't know what happened. I used to have hair. But time is going by pretty fast. And the more we know, the more we understand that these days are coming upon us as we watch the Scriptures and unfold. They're unfolding right before our eyes. If you are a scholar of the Scriptures, you understand and see the days that are coming. And do we need to be scared about that? No. Not if you're a believer. You need to be very excited about that because great things are going to happen in the midst of the coming of the Lord and before He comes, because there's an outpouring of the Spirit that's about to come. I'm looking really forward to that. I'm really excited about that. As people see and feel the presence of God and Him moving once again, He's always moving, but it's like there's times when it's more and less. You know, there was the dark ages when God didn't really do anything. It's like for 400 years. And that was a long period of nothing for the movement of the Spirit. Now, we're seeing that there's been an outpouring of the Spirit. There's been revivals. It's happened in our past, and they're going to happen in the future if our hearts are open to see what's happening. So today I want to get to chapter 3, and I want to kick that off by saying the title of this message is Saved, Sanctified, and Sent. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that as we as a body of believers, Lord, have come to this place to learn more about You and who You are. And God, as You unfold that mystery before us, Lord God, that we would be willing to let You shake us, let You mold us and shape us, Lord. We ask, God, that sin would decrease and, Lord, that Your Spirit would grow in us and it would increase in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have Your way with this message today. Let each of us leave here differently than we came. Lord, with something fresh and new to walk forward with. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So open your Bibles. Let's get to chapter 3. And the thing I want to say is this, is that when you read Matthew, look at the first two chapters, and then you jump into chapter 3, it's like what happened between toddler, 2-year-old to 30. 33. When he started his ministry, how old was he? Huh? Right. And so I look at and the years between that chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you're going, what about the stories of his, you know, adolescent years and into his teens? What happened to that? And I can just imagine, the Bible says, right, that if it was all written, you wouldn't have enough books to contain it all. Right? So could you imagine being the brother of Jesus, James, right? And they're hanging out and they're playing, right? And he's, you know, I can just picture, I don't know about you, but my mind wanders in this. Because I had brothers, right? So I get it. But could you imagine Jesus being your brother? Right? It's like, Mom, he's walking across the water again. No fair. I tried to play hide and go seek with him, right? All income free, and he like appears by the tree. I don't know what happened. I just, you know, can you imagine that though? It's like, how do you get raised with Jesus? You know, it's like a brother. I don't know if he did all that stuff or not, but you just kind of wonder. Because he did do things like that, right? And so, and he had to have done enough of it to where Mom knew he was like capable of some things. Because what happened when right before he started his ministry, right? His mom said, "Whatever he tells you to do, you do." Right? Kind of left Jesus kind of in a tough spot. Oh, I'm going to honor my parents, but yet it's not my time. Mom, what do you want me to do? Right? You want me to? Yeah, whatever you do. So what do you do? He turned water into wine, right? Which was the best wine that the guy's ever had. And I'm thinking, if he did that, you know, what happened between those lost years that the Bible doesn't talk about? I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll probably hear some stories. That'd be cool to know, really, what did Jesus do in those times? Because there's not a lot of written about it, is there? Anybody read anything about it? Because if you have, I'd like to hear about it. It's not in the Scriptures. I don't know why God kept that out. Probably because it's really not all that important. What was important is that he did come to die for our sin, and he was the Savior of the world. And so that's the most important. So we're going to talk about saved, sanctified, and sent. Now, John the Baptist was the one that came before Jesus, right, to prepare the way, and his ministry was about what? Repentance, right? To repent, to get your heart right and ready for the Savior. And so we're going to kick it off there in chapter 3. It says this. It says, "Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judah, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, was the kingdom of heaven at hand? Yes. Is the kingdom here now? Yes. The kingdom is here now, and it's also in the future. So the kingdom of heaven is reigning, and how does that happen? Through me and you. Right? Through us, as believers. We're walking out this message that Jesus gave us. We get saved, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we live the kingdom principles of God right here, right now. So the kingdom of God is at hand. So he says this. He says, "For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.'" I parentheses this phrase that said, "Make his paths straight." Is anybody capturing what he's saying in that passage? Let me see if I can get it clear for you. Let's look back to Isaiah 40. Chapter 40, verse 3. Let's read that. Because this is the prophecy they were referring to that was written in Isaiah 40, verse 3. Are y'all there? I know you're fast. Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, "A voice is calling, 'Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, 'Call out.' Then he answered, 'What shall I call out?' All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field." And it goes on to say, now what he's referring to in that passage of Scripture, and we'll get on to it, is that he was talking about the relationship of people with him. John was saying, make straight the path of the Lord, right? Make straight. Let's reread that verse. He's saying this. He said, make his path straight. Make his path straight. So who was he talking to? He's talking to people who understand that we make his path straight in us. He is in us, and we, and the path that stayed straight is how we walk according to his will so others can see it. Right? We're making his path straight. He's made it straight. He's done it for us. Now we walk in it, and he will provide the way. And if we walk in it, it's a testimony for others. And so as we see this prophecy that John was saying, he was talking about what Jesus was going to do in us. And John himself, and verse 4 said this, and John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. What did they do? They confessed their sins. And then they were baptized. Listen, there's an outpouring going on in that passage of Scripture that's an amazing thing. Everybody understood. There's this guy out in the desert who's wearing this camel hair with a leather belt around him. I'm sure he looked like an earth guy, you know. I don't know if he had dreadlocks or not, but I mean, that's kind of how I picture him. He's like this guy that's got these, you know, he's just out in the wilderness, right? And he's a rough dude. And he's preaching about Jesus. Right? But the word of the Lord is true, and it doesn't matter who gives it. If it's true, you know it. Right? You can hear it. You grab it. And people were grabbing that truth of the understanding of the Scripture and what was said in the Old Testament, because they read that, and he was referring to this is happening now. Just like we read in Revelation, what's going to happen, and we need to prepare the way. Why? Because it's going to happen. Jesus is coming again, and we need to understand it. We all need to be Johns in the wilderness, making the path straight, right, in us. If we're doing that, and if we're walking a straight path, guess what? Others are going to see it. They're going to see it, and they're going to walk that path too. And that was the message. My question is, where are you at in this time with the Lord? In your lifespan between birth and death, I think there's a lot of people who are saved. I get that. Right, I'm hopeful that everybody in this room is. Right, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Right, let's start this journey, this path, this walk with Christ, because there's things to happen that you're gonna be glad you said yes to Jesus. If you haven't done it today, just say, man, just raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, come into my life, and confess your sin before Him. He says, I'm faithful to forgive you. I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness. Right? So walk that straight path. Make the path straight. And do it in yourself. Accept Christ and walk that path. Now, I believe that probably all of you are saved. Right? You have accepted Christ into your life. And if you're not, this is your invitation. Do that. You don't have to have a big crowd and come up and cry and all that stuff, although that's a cool deal. Because when God does a work in you, you remember it, right? And so when you ask Jesus into your life, it is a big deal. And so make that commitment to Him. And if you are saved, here's the next thing that happens in your life. And we'll get to that. We're going to talk about sanctification, being sanctified. And we're going to talk about what that looks like, okay? Seven? Is that where I left off? Oh, confess your sin. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who was it that told you the truth of the word? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with what? Repentance. Make sure your heart is in a place of repentance if you're soft-hearted before the Lord. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Do you guys understand that God doesn't have grandchildren or great-grandchildren? You are either a child of God or you're not. You guys get that? There are no grandchildren. You can't get saved by your parents. Right? It doesn't work that way. It's your relationship with God, period. You become a child of God and there are no grandchildren. You're a child of God. And so you can't get there through Abraham or any other religious practice. Not done that way. And so, and God says these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Guess who you are? Are you a Jew? If you're not a Jew, what are you? A Gentile. How do Gentiles get grafted into this thing? Right? If you weren't a daughter or son of Abraham as a Jew, right? A Jewish people, right? You got there through the blood of Jesus. And hallelujah for that. So God did raise us up, right? He gave us the chance to become people of God, which is an amazing thing. And so, and John's saying, the axe is already laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So basically what he was saying is these Sadducees and the Pharisees that were doing these religious practices didn't understand the truth of repentance and have a repentant heart and walk out their walk with Christ in their own life. Make way the path, right? And that's what our mandate is. And so as for me, I baptize you with water and repentance, and he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, let's talk about that. When the Lord baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and fire, I'm going to get onto those two things, but there's a lot of people who grab a hold of that and mess that with that a little bit. But I'm just going to say this. I believe that in this passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit is something we need to have in order to keep from being baptized with fire. Right? There's two ways to see this. Right? In this passage of Scripture, because there is a fire of the Holy Spirit that burns in us. Right? But in this passage, as we read it, we'll find out that God is shaking things. The Lord is going to shake us, and that's where the sanctification part is, right? So when you're being sanctified or purged or being threshed on the threshing floor, that's the next step after salvation, right? Once you're saved, then what? We all just walk and we're all saved and everything's good? No. That's great. And you are saved and things are good. God level of understanding of who he is, so that we are strong in the Lord, that we can take pressures of this world that are coming at us all the time, that we will stand firm and not give up and not quit, not go backwards, not step into the ways of the world and accept the things of the world that we've talked about in this congregation before. Because we're not supposed to be accepting things like abortion. You know, we don't kill babies, right? Things happen, right? But we as Christians need to stand firm. We're not a part of that, right? And those that have done that, there is forgiveness for you. That's why the repentant heart is so important for us. When we fail, we can come back and get right with God, no matter what happens. But the reality is there's standards. There are standards that we have to live by. And so this sanctification process is an ongoing thing in our lives. So we can't just walk in, oh, I'm saved, got my fire insurance. I mean, you can, but what good are you by making that path straight for the Lord? How are you doing that if you're just saved? What difference are you making? So this sanctification process, there is a process, right? We learn when we fail, we do things wrong, we learn how to have a real contrite heart, a repentant heart before the Lord, and ask for forgiveness and change. What does repent mean? Stop doing it, go a different, do something different. Don't do the same thing. If you keep doing the same thing, that's when the strongholds come in and they grab a hold of you and you just can't get out of it. Right? You need deliverance in order to change. In order for this thing of the enemy to get off of you, You have to come into such a place of wanting free that you're so sick of the thing, of the sin that's got you, that you are going to just want it gone. And you're going to come into the presence of God, and guess what? God's going to deliver you. He will break the stronghold. But it's going to take your heart of repentance for it to happen, because He don't want you just to play this game over and over and over again, does He? Right? He says, those that are lukewarm, what's He going to do? Yeah, you're not going to have that deep relationship with God, because He already knows where you are. And until you come to a deep, repentant heart to say, God, please forgive me, I want it gone before the Lord, you come into that place of relationship, He'll break it, and you get set free. Right? And when you're free indeed. You know it. You don't have any bound to it again. You're just like, I'm done. It's gone. It's over. And the only way that can get started again is if you open the window of it. If you do it. But as far as God's concerned, it never happened. Isn't that awesome? That's how great and loving our God is. But I believe the Christians today are walking in a salvation standard, and they're not willing to go to that place of maturity in their lives and be sifted and shaken and stirred. And that's the sanctification process. And so this purging that happens and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody been baptized in the Holy Spirit here besides myself? All right. Listen, this time of your life of baptism of the Holy Spirit is an amazing thing. It is a real deal that really happens, and I'm guaranteeing you, you'll remember it when it does. Because there's such a knowing in your spirit that God has come in and done a work in you. It is a time of renewal in your life. I don't know how to explain it all, except for I know you know it when it happens. But it takes your heart to receive, right? He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. If you're status quo and you just want to stay in the safe place, right? You can do that, but I guarantee you there's so much more to God than that. There's so much more of the Holy Spirit than that. That depth of walking in relationship with God. In fact, do you walk and talk with God? And sometimes, you know, God will wake you up in the night and you have a conversation with Him. Or you'll have a dream and He'll reveal things to you. Or you'll walk through your daily routine of life and He'll say, walk this way or do something, and you hear the still small voice of the Lord and you obey it. Right? Are you guys in that place with the Lord? If you are, that's a Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying to the call. Whatever that is. And you know what that is and you walk in it. So that's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus did when He died on the cross, right? And He went to the Father. He ascended and to the Father. He left us with what? Spirit. Right? He left us with the Comforter. He left us with the power to do the work. Acts 1:8, what does it say? It's very clear in Acts what happened. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So there's an upon experience with God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then what? Well, He empowers you and me to walk the straight path that John is speaking of here. Right? And we're making that path straight. So then the next thing is this: in the sanctification process, it says the winnowing fork is in His hand. In Jesus' hand, He has the winnowing fork, and He will thoroughly clear His threshing floor, and He will gather His wheat into the barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So that's what, you can't get these two confused in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I've listened to messages where they put these two together, and I have a difficult time when you read the next verse. And the next verse says, there is a time this threshing is going on, and if you aren't the wheat, you're the chaff. And guess what? If you're that, you're going to get burned. You're going to get pushed aside, and the other ones are coming in, those that accept Christ. So there is salvation, and then there's a time of walking with God and understanding, and then we're going to get to the sent part in a minute. But this, and when we look at saved, sanctified, and sent, here's the question, and this is what I always do, and I don't mean to do this, but But the reality is, if I don't do my job, you guys aren't ever going to grow past saved. Right? You won't. You'll stay right in the saved area, and you'll just stay there. So if you're saved, that's great, that's wonderful, but there's more to it. And so that you're sanctified and walking in that area, and then in 13, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. And this is the interesting thing. When Jesus came and he was in a place just humble before God and wanted to do what God wanted to do. So he went before us and he showed us the picture of how he wanted us to be. And he didn't come as this mighty king and ruler over everyone to show this thing. He said, you come to serve. And he wanted us to learn how to do that. So we have to have a humble heart. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. And so he got baptized by John. What an awesome heart of compassion to do the will of the Father. Listen, when we come before God, we have to have that repentant heart as well. We have to come humbly and do what God says. And so if we're doing our own thing, and you know, that's one thing, but to be humble before the Lord and keep a humble heart and walk in it, that's a great deal. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And that's the thing, when I had an experience with the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, but it was very wonderful like that. It was very calm and a beautiful thing where God touched me in a deep way. And it wasn't radical, and I know God works in different ways with different people, but for me, it was just the Spirit of God falling on me that gently. And it was beautiful, wonderful feeling of the presence of God in my life. And it changed my life. And those of you who have had that experience with God know what I'm talking about. And so, verse 17, and behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And so we have this area of being sent. Right? And in my heart of hearts, I know that we walk with the Lord. I know we do. We're all learning and growing together. And the idea is that we understand God's plan for our lives, because we all are created with this picture that God had for us. We're created He said, I knew you in your mother's womb. I brought you into this world, right? So he knows you. He knows you. The question is, do you know him? Right? He knows you, but do you know him? And do you know the power of his Spirit that's alive and well in us today? And if we hear the voice of the Lord, we're going to gravitate toward understanding the relationship with him. And then we're going to lay down the pride, lay down all the stuff that holds us back, and we're just going to simply come before the Lord and have him lead us in a beautiful, humble way. Right? And if we don't have humility and peace and love in our hearts to relate to him in that manner, because that's the only way he can do anything with us, if we're pliable. If we're not pliable, if we're like the Sadducees and Pharisees, and we're stuck in this is the way it is, and we can't open our hearts to receive something from the Lord, maybe I do have something I need to change. Right? And if that's true, then Lord, then you have your way with me, and I'm humbling myself before you to come and change my life. So this sin, maybe you've come to a place where you went through that process and you were sent. You started jumping in and doing ministry and feeling pretty good about that, and the enemy came in and blasted you out. And you quit. And you, because of all the circumstances, things happened, and you stopped. Right? I don't know about you, but many, many people find themselves in that area of walk with God. They get started, and circumstances happen, and they just back up. Right? If you've been there or you are there, there's good news. You don't have to stay there. Right? God makes things all new. He said, every day is a brand new day with Him. Hallelujah. Every day is a brand new day. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. It doesn't. What matters is how you're going to relate to God and work with Him in the days to come. Right? Our willingness to humble ourselves and just follow after God and whatever's coming our way, right? We learn to listen to the Lord and behave in a manner that's worthy of our calling according to Him. We aren't called to please everybody. You guys know that? We can't. It's impossible. Has anybody tried it? It's not, you can't do it. But what we are called to do is please the Lord. With our relationship with Him and our humble walk before Him, and stay on that path. And if there is a separation in that area of your walk with the Lord, then by all means, fill the gap. Let Him come in and touch you once again and come to that place where you feel comfortable about being sent. Because you all are sent. You know, you're all out there doing the work of service, and you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be evangelist. You don't have to have a name behind you. All you have to do is say yes to the Lord. And wherever you are, minister Jesus to people in your workplace, in your church, in your community. And just humble yourself in a way that is humble under. Don't try to be Lord over. Right? Because Jesus was our picture. He came to serve. And if we're a people who are servants, then we're doing our job. And guess what? We're going to get our feelings hurt. Anybody figured that out yet? You're going to get your feelings hurt. People are going to hurt you. I know they don't mean to. Maybe they do, but I think sometimes it just happens. And if you allow that to overtake you and back you away from your call, or it's too hard, or I got hurt, I'm not going to do it again, then you didn't read about all the disciples and what Jesus went through and what Jesus said. What did He say? If you follow Me, what was going to happen? You're going to be persecuted. It's just going to happen. And you need to know that. Because whenever the world comes against you and things happen and we don't connect and the hurts come and the feelings happen, then you just got to come underneath the great mighty hand of the Lord and keep walking. You guys ever watch the tale of, what is it, Fievel, you know, the mouse? He's leaving and he's coming to America. And he's going up the ramp to get on the boat. It's a kid's story. It's animated. And he's walking, and his dad's got all this stuff, and Fievel's messing around, you know, doing stuff. And his dad's saying, Fievel, just keep walking. Stop messing around. Just keep going. I think that the Spirit of the Lord would say that to us. You know what? Whatever your name is, put your name in the blank. Just keep walking. And just keep going. Don't get beat up. Don't get knocked down. Don't get stuck. Right? Because you're called, all of you are called to make that path straight. First of all, in your own heart and life, right? That has to be settled. Make that path straight in your own life, and then help others get on the right path and help them keep it straight. But you can't help somebody out of the mud if you're stuck in there with them. Right? You ever tried to help somebody out of some place where you're all mired down too? It doesn't work. And so if you're in that place where you're mired down and you're trying to counsel somebody else, well, that's really tough. Because they're going to look at you and say, well, you're in the same boat I am. So you need to take that to heart. Listen to it carefully, because the Lord wants to renew you in relationship with Him. You should be excited about spending time with the Lord, right? Good. And you should be excited about spending time with God's people. The Bible tells us very clearly that we're not to forsake ourselves to gather together, hang out. But we were out working on the sets, no? Oh, wow. Yeah. Looked like big rings up. I was going, wow, Christmas early. So if you're in that place of relationship with God and you're listening carefully, listen, he's going to speak. And so I want to bring it back. I'm going to button it up here. And I want to say this. If you're in this area where you haven't been saved yet, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Right? I'm going to do that first. And then I want to talk about the sanctification process. If some of you guys are in some hard places, right, and you're in that place where you're just not hearing God real clear, and a lot of things are going on in your life, and you're feeling a little beat up, and you're feeling just kind of lost, you can get that back just in that relationship with God and hearing very clearly. And all it takes is a humble heart to say, Lord, forgive me of my shortcomings and my failures. I want to hear you clearly. And so that repentant heart before God will bring you right back into that place of opening your spiritual ears to hear him. Right? And so that's the second thing. And then if you're in an area of processing where God's taking you, being sent, so to speak. It's like Joey said, there's a couple of people in here that really are thinking about taking the next move forward in ministry and kind of learning more about who God is and what God wants them to be doing in the days to come. And so looking at college, right, that's a big step. Right? When you step into that, that's being sent. That's learning to get to that place of ministry where you're in a different call than just walking out through your daily life routine. And so if you're there, then I want to give opportunity for that. So I'm just going to break it down into the areas. Okay? Is that okay? So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Okay? And we're going to start it off with the salvation area. If you have never, or if you think you have, but you have a question about Jesus in your life, if you've never accepted Christ in your life, and I mean seriously, get to that humble relationship with Jesus, and you want to do that today, I want you just to simply raise your hand and say, I want that. If that's what that is an act of obedience between you and God. And you're saying yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord, I just want to pray over those folks who accept you. God, I pray. God, their ears would be open to your spirit. God, that their lives would be changed from this moment on. That God, that you know, God, just to an amazing power of the Holy Spirit would fall upon him right now to feel your presence. Now for those that are in this shaking, this sanctification, this time of just grabbing a hold of all that God has for you and walking through that. Have some difficulty trying to find out where you're at. Just grab a hold of God with it. Say yes, Lord. Raise your hand. Lord, I'm in that place and I need you to hear you, God. Tell me in a deep way. Come into my life, Lord God, and change the things that happen. Quit allowing me to devour. Thank you. Show me the way. Tell me. You receive that. And then in the area of sin, I just go to the room or feeling a tug to move forward with you, God, in some way or another. Hallelujah. If you're feeling in that area of sin, I want you just to raise your hand, Lord. Say yes, Lord. Hallelujah. That draw of the Holy Spirit falling on you now, just saying, Lord, I want to say yes to you in every way. So in that area of being sent, God, I pray that you open my heart, see it. First of all, spiritual avenue of relationship with you, God, being sent, Lord, show me that direction, Lord, and let me walk in it, that path that you put, that straight path, let me walk in it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. or this rich time of receiving all that you have for us in the areas, God, that you, that we're in the salvation area, oh God, in that sanctification time, Lord God, and we're just grabbing hold of all that you are, Lord. Lord, I pray over those that have gone to that place of ministry and then got hurt. Lord, I pray, God, that your Spirit would just touch them. And Lord, that you would soften their hearts. Soften the hearts of those who have been hurt. Help them to love again. In an area, Lord God, that only you can do, only you can do that. So I ask, God, to touch those areas. Soften it, Lord. Let us always see you today in the place, Lord, we are. We give you all the glory and praise because you are God and your Spirit is flowing right here. And your touching hearts right now. Just in areas that I pray for his name, but hallelujah. Alan, if you find some music there, I want the prayer team to come up. As you're on the prayer team, just come on up. So I want you to grab a hold of what just happened. If you grab a hold of something that the Lord's done and you just kind of sit in your seat with it, and you're not able just to share, this is it. This is something that I grabbed a hold of. And respond to that. There's something about responding to the touch of the Lord. And I know I've been there. It will pass you by, and you'll make this commitment. You'll say it with the Lord, and you'll know something just happened. And it'll just kind of drift right on by. Here's what I want to see happen. I don't want you to lose anything the Lord's done. So, if you've asked Christ in your heart, right, then I want you to seal that in Jesus' name. I want you to say and tell somebody. Hey, this is a cool deal. I mean, that's a cool deal. You don't get no better day than that. Right, seal it. And be glad in it. If you just got born, brand spanking new. That's an amazing deal. From this day on, your walk will be different, I guarantee you. Walk the straight path from here out. Don't go back. Don't go back. Just keep walking. Right? And if you grab a hold of something in the sanctification area of your life where you're struggling and you need a touch from the Lord to seal that place in your life, then do it. Don't let this day go by you and make it a deal in your life. Make it important. Because God, everything God has for you is so important. Don't lose it. And then for the sin, and those of you who are really feeling called to sin, it takes an act of obedience like no other to do what God's called for. So seal that. Make it a point of reference in your life. And so I want to invite you to come up and just share that with these guys and let them pray for you. Whatever area that was. And my prayer is that everybody in this room grabs something out of this message, one way or the other. Just seal it and allow God to make your path straight. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're ready, come on up.